The name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, my dear brothers and sisters, in his name, amen. Those words, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice," what do they mean? Is God suggesting that our neighbor needs our works of charity more than he does? Well, that's certainly true. Or is our Lord attempting to shift our focus away from what we might do for him to what he does for us? And the simple answer is yes. You see, these words, "I desire mercy, but not sacrifice," they condemn everyone who thinks that they're good enough. They condemn those who think that God looks across humanity and sees them as shining lights. What about you? Is that a fair characterization of you? Do you need God's mercy? Or do you think that it's meant primarily for others? Maybe it's not that you really think that you're good enough, because after all, you've been a Lutheran far too long for that. But you just think that you do enough, maybe give enough, or perhaps sacrifice enough to make up for all of those sins, the big ones and the little ones. Well, the words that St. Matthew records for us, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice." Those are condemning words to those who don't know that they need God's mercy. But they are comforting words if you know that you do. If you know that you're not good enough, if you know that even when you're doing your best, you're still sinning, if you know that even your best works are nothing but filthy rags before the eyes of God, then these words comfort you. To the person who knows that they can't stand before God's justice, to the person who knows that they can't stand under the scrutiny of God's law, God's desiring to have mercy is a great comfort to them. In fact, you love mercy. You love mercy if you can find nothing good about yourself that is good enough in the eyes of God. You love mercy if you know that as often as you try to please God, you fail. You love mercy if no one else's sins look as big as yours. You love mercy if the news that God wishes to be merciful makes your heart leap. You love mercy if you have nothing to plead before God. Not works, not excuses, not promises to do better, but only, "Lord, have mercy." I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Those are condemning words to sinners who don't think that they need mercy, comforting words to sinners who know they do, and radical words to the person who really listens. Almighty God, almighty, omnipotent, immortal, invisible, God only wise, that God says that he would rather give mercy to sinners instead of getting anything from them. And that really flies in the face of human reason, doesn't it? Reason that says that humanity is supposed to serve deity. And this flies in the face of idolatry that says gods need their worshipers to give them something or do something for them. This flies in the face of the sinful human heart that likes to think of our relationship with God as one big have to. Do I have to go to church? Do I have to take communion? Do I have to give an offering? Do I have to pray? On and on, our foolish hearts whine, foolishly thinking that God wants to get from us more than he wants to give to us. Again, these words, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." Those are condemning words. They are comforting words. They are radical words, and they are calling words. Jesus says, "For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The one who calls standing before them in flesh and blood is the God who met with Abraham in that smoking pot, with Jacob in a wrestling angel, with Moses in a cloud, and with Elijah in a still small voice. Now he's here in flesh and blood, and he's calling. Jesus calls sinners to righteousness, not your own, but his. The answer to your sin, in other words, the answer to your sins is not to stop sinning, to try harder, or to make excuses for them. The only answer for your sins is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because it's the only thing that is truly pure and holy before God. God finds no stain, no blemish, no fault with the righteousness of Jesus. And he finds no fault with you. With you as you're clothed in our Lord's righteousness by baptism, covered with it by holy absolution, and fed with it in Holy Communion. The righteousness that you now have changes sinners. How much? Well, it changed a tax collector into an evangelist, a sinner into an apostle. The great mercy that God showed St. Matthew in Christ led to great changes, sacrifice even. But God desired to be merciful to Matthew much more than he desired him to be either an apostle or an evangelist. And once St. Matthew learned that, the great changes followed. In Jesus' name.